Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, y'all. Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with the NBA. I'd like to call a truce between hardcore NFL supporters and hardcore NBA supporters. I love the NFL and NBA equally, or at least I used to. As a child, my dad took me and my brother to Pacer games when they dominated the old ABA. At the time, the Colts played in Baltimore. Indianapolis had no NFL franchise. As a teenager, Magic Johnson was my favorite athlete. My point is, I have no interest in serving as the NBA's most vocal critic. I'm a fan of the league. I take no particular delight in the NBA being trapped in this Daryl Morey China quagmire, an entanglement that is exposing the NBA's social justice wokey-doke. The Rockets general manager tweeted mild support for democracy-demanding protesters in Hong Kong. The tweet sparked a strong rebuke from the Chinese government and has damaged the NBA's relationship with the communist government to the point that this week's exhibition games in China might be canceled. The rift has unmasked the NBA's dependence on China. The league that has branded itself as the most righteous and progressive in all of American sports can't muster the collective courage to say it supports democracy and freedom because China is critical to the financial health of the NBA and the NBA's overlord, Nike. Golden State coach Steve Kerr, a frequent critic of our president, declined to take a position against the totalitarian communist regime. Houston star James Harden apologized to the Chinese government. San Antonio coach Greg Popovich dodged addressing the China controversy and instead heaped praise on NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and trolled President Trump.
And then compare it to what we've had to live through the last 3 years. Big difference, big gap there, leadership-wise and courage-wise. We've all talked about or heard about all the questions that all the talking heads have and everybody for the last 3 years. What kind of country do we want to be? Who are we? Where do we want to go? That sort of thing. Adam said something that helps you understand what direction you need to go in.
The NBA looks foolish and hypocritical here. It has spent the last 5 years pretending to sit on a moral perch well above the NFL. That has infuriated me and caused me to call BS on the NBA every chance I get. I just want the NBA crowd to stop the unfair, over-the-top smearing of football in the NFL. These are both great leagues, but they're also businesses. Neither league has a moral high ground. Let's make peace, not war. Let's enjoy both leagues. If we can't make peace, if the unfair attacks on the NFL continue, I'm going to win this war. Daryl Morey gave me all the ammunition I need. He accidentally sparked a conversation about foreign influence in American sports. The NBA can't win here. The strategy of communist regimes from Stalin's Soviet Union to today's China has been to portray racism as a phenomenon of Western culture, aka the United States of America. They do it to mask the racism, brutality, and depravity of communism. 2 weeks ago, I welcomed home former Ball State linebacker Wendell Brown, who spent 3 years inside a Chinese prison for an altercation at a nightclub. Wendell experienced firsthand how a communist regime deals with a black man. LeBron James, Colin Kaepernick, James Harden, and the other multimillionaire global elites supported by shoe companies will never know Wendell's Chinese experience. Their wealth and fame keep them in a protective bubble of privilege when they travel abroad. Plus, the global elites unwittingly function as assets in the sales job that the U.S. is more racist and unfair than China. This is a communist strategy for 100 years, and China has its hooks in our athletes through its relationships with Nike and the NBA. The NFL doesn't participate in what I call the anti-America wokey-doke. The NFL sells American pride and patriotism. You might think it's disingenuous and manipulative, but it's far superior to bending a knee to China. Let's call a truce. The NBA don't want this smoke. Joining the desk now are Fox Sports analysts Rick Bucher and LeVar Arrington. Lamar Marcellus, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
Can we finally admit the NBA isn't morally superior to the NFL?
I can't admit to this. I can't answer this because I don't think that neither one is in a chase or race of being morally superior. What I see happening is, unfortunately, the morality is being defined by controversy and more so by commissioner responses to those same controversies instead of their primary responsibility, which is to just grow the games. Here's what I'm saying. Neither one is morally superior. They're just both in the same race of chasing the bottom line and trying to grow that as fast as possible. But things occur that makes us misdefine and redefine what their job responsibilities are. Case in point, when Adam Silver first took the job, there was an alley-oop thrown to him morally with a racist owner caught on tape with a mistress. And that was an alley-oop that was actually going in the net without him touching the ball. But still, he said, get rid of this owner. Boom. He's now defined as a progressive commissioner and the NBA is woke. Juxtaposed to what was going on in the NFL. And we had Ray Rice, Aaron Hernandez, Deflategate, and Kaepernick all happening in a 2-3 year span. Hmm. So now look at those contrasts that are now being pictured and portrayed for us to interpret. You got one commissioner who just basically said, yeah, we got to get rid of the racist owner. And the other one said, what do I do with the domestic violence? Okay, I have an approach. Oh, that wasn't perfect. Okay, I have something to do in terms of the integrity of the game being compromised and bounties and Deflategate. Oh, that wasn't perfect. And then with Colin Kaepernick, that wasn't a perfect response. That said, this whole morally superior conversation is a distraction from what the real conversation is upstairs internally, which is who can make the most money? Everything else to me is just simple distraction.
So I have two questions before I can answer that question. Who's the we that has to admit that the NBA is morally superior?
Mostly the NBA media, guys like yourself.
Okay.
That have smeared the NFL.
And who has suggested that the NBA is moral?
Guys like you, the NBA media, okay. At the behest of the NBA.
Well, they might look like me, yeah. And they might have a similar job as me, but I've never taken the position that the NBA is morally superior. I understand the business relationship that they have, and as Marcella said, I understand that this is a business. I don't look to the NBA to set my compass when it comes to morality or anything else. I think sometimes what we do is we confuse and those who are saying that the NBA is morally superior, and I know that that argument is out there.
I just read it in the Washington Post this morning.
Understood. I've read it in a number of places. Yeah. But I believe that what we confuse is the willingness to discuss touchy subjects with the willingness to do something about those subjects. The NFL, for the most part, has steered clear of issues that it feels are, that may be offensive to their ticket buying public. The NBA, because of its structure, has allowed individuals within it to discuss those topics and to give their opinions on it. I don't see that as them being morally superior or the NBA being superior, but that's where the appearance comes from, is that they're willing to discuss these issues, whereas the NFL says, we don't want to touch that. We don't want to touch domestic violence. We'll put up the facade that we care, but we don't want to talk about it.
I'll jump in and say I disagree with that. And the answer would be you can't position yourself as saying you are morally superior to the National Football League. When the same type of situation took place in Carolina, that team went up for sale. So the same thing that happened with the Clippers, happened in the NFL as well, and that was...
Let me help you there, too. Much more quickly. All right. Donald Sterling's legacy of racism was about 30 years long before the NBA took action.
All right.
The guy in Carolina, within months, he was out. Dusted.
So it does. Those things are addressed in the National Football League. There's this thing called domestic violence that you just mentioned. It was discussed. It was a tremendous discussion, so much so that campaigns were created out of what took place. Domestic violence takes place in the NBA. It takes place in the NFL. Go ahead.
How much was the reaction on the domestic violence because of what happened with Ray Rice? Well, as opposed to, we're going to take a step forward and we're going to be progressive on this. Mm. It was a matter of, we got shamed into, once the video came out, we need to change the conversation here.
It could be the discussion that it was a knee-jerk reaction from the National Football League. But when you look at something that, you know, there are more than enough examples of what may have taken place in the NBA with situations where you could say it was a knee-jerk reaction. It's what conversations ensue from what took place. If you didn't know that there was a problem that needed to be addressed, then you can't address it.
Yeah.
So when that problem presented itself and it was addressed, now you're saying, okay, well, how long is this going for? How long are the conversations taking place? Both the NFL and the NBA need programs that create... teach sensitivity towards what your spouse or dealing with somebody on a domestic level. These conversations are taking place on both sides.
But why, LeVar? Why do they need those programs? Do they do it out of the goodness of their heart? Do they do it because social issue?
But they do it like any other business.
There you go.
Protect it goes their bottom line.
Right. Exactly.
It goes back to the Whitlock. I mean, to me, it goes back to what he just read about.
It's about the bottom line. And just... the point, the thing that they're getting exposed here, and I'm willing to go all the way there if they want to go there, is who is the NBA answering to and who is the NFL answering to? The NFL is answering to the American public, 1,000%. Oof. When we go to the NBA, the American public drives what happens in the NFL. They're not worried about China. They're not worried about China.
They're responding to who their fan base is. To who they think their fan base is.
Yeah, I know. NBA's fan base is over in China. They're getting a ton of money from China. Everybody runs over to get that shoe money at the behest of the shoe companies. The NFL doesn't have that concern to that level.
Well, they don't have that concern because they don't have that growth. In one respect, you're almost envious of the NBA's growth globally in China and Africa. Heavily popular. You don't have to be, but you're not looking at their bottom line.
You're going
to
add India in a hot minute.
And they're growing at a place and at a rate that the NFL is not. NFL is growing in London, growing in Mexico, and they're trying to do the same thing the NBA is doing in different marketplaces. However, because of their growth, because of them being in those situations, what happens? Now they've overstepped their bounds in terms of knowing the conditions of those same places. Yeah, there are basketball fans there, but there are also people who have different values and beliefs, and they overstep those bounds. The NFL, if they don't take notice of what the NBA is going through right now, will be next in this conversation of criticism.
That's the heart of it, is that the NBA, because its global reach, is now... there's one thing if you're going to criticize your own country. It's a completely different thing if you're criticizing someone else's country. And now, because of their global reach, they're now working in places that don't share our principles or our way of life or doing business. And everybody was okay with it as long as the differences weren't risen up and put in our face. And now suddenly, because of a tweet, I mean, think about this. 140 characters. Now we have hundreds of millions of dollars at stake.
But that is the world that we live in right now. That's the reality of it. You just sat there and said it yourself. Why do you come up with a program? Because of what took place, right? The fallout of what took place. The Twitterverse drives a lot of what happens.
Sure.
And the reason, and there's going to be reactions to that.
But you can put programs in place to solve the issues, our social issues within this country. You can't put programs in place that are going to change the way China does business or how they handle Hong Kong or any of those things. And that's where the NBA, that's the strength of the NBA. You put it exactly right. Their global reach is their strength, and it's also their vulnerability. Yeah. I'm actually surprised you had a Russian owner in Mikhail Prokhorov. You want to look at how he made his money? That
came
didn't come up
NBA.
At some point.
Wouldn't be an NFL owner, but was in the NBA. The foreign influence, when the public starts really realizing the impact of this foreign influence and the dramatic change it's having in our American culture, They're not going to like it. I want to, and we're going to get to that in the next segment after the commercial break, but I want to ask this quickly, and Rick, I'm going to start. Should the NBA quit promoting itself, and it has been, as a social justice league?
I miss the commercials where they did exactly that. You know what they've done is, if I say, Jason, man, you're looking good, man.
WNBA!
You been working out? Did you lose 20 pounds? And you're not going to say, no, dude, I just had a bag of potato chips. I haven't been on a treadmill
you're
in 2 weeks.
You're
going to go, thank you.
These dudes are putting on T-shirts before games. Equality, we stand for all the right things. WNBA commercials, equality, this, that, another. This is them leaning into that we're the social justice league.
Leaning in and taking advantage of what other people are doing and saying about them, not promoting ourselves as we are better than the NFL.
It's taking advantage of trying to promote business and create business in a lane that the NFL doesn't need to do that. And I think that may have not have been presented in the discussion point.
But the NFL in the same way takes advantage of the fact that we're the middle of the country. We're the red states. They're not going to promote it that way.
Well, the NFL doesn't take shots at the NBA to do that, though.
Yeah.
I feel when you're saying, when you see what the NBA is promoting and marketing and putting out there, it's almost like a direct blow or a direct shot saying that, I know this is America's game, but we're the NBA and we believe in equality. We believe in those things. And that, it kind of came out in some
of
your
explanation. As if the NFL doesn't.
No, well, what's happening, if we can distill it all, is the NFL is almost as twice as big as the NBA in terms of dollars, in terms of economy, right? Mm-hmm. So it'll be insecure of the NFL to ever punch down to the NBA. But what the NBA has realized is because our bottom line is not as strong, what we have to do is create a greater story, greater extras and ancillary conversations to start to close
that
gap.
Which now, introduces the conversation of going abroad.
But there's a difference in you promoting something, and then when you receive that compliment, you actually accept it. Mm. This is not coming. The impetus of this is not the NBA going towards the public. It's the public declaring this about the NBA and them accepting it. Adam Silver walked right into this moment, and that's what it's been since then.
Only thing I'll disagree with you on, Marcel, is because I think you're right. I don't think it's the public. I think it's the media.
Mm.
The media is pushing this. They hate the NFL.
With what incentive?
Toxic masculinity. There's a war. It's a culture war. Patriarchy versus matriarchy. The NFL represents masculinity. It's been under attack. The media has jumped on board with this. And I'm saying cut it out, because if we really get into this, you're going to find out. We're going to lift up the skirt of the NBA and find out who's really pulling the puppet strings. And it's somebody worse than Donald Trump. You're going to find out. It's over in China.
There's one other element here that makes things different between the NFL and the NBA, and that's the concentration of the revenue. The NFL money is all concentrated in one place. The NBA has a unique structure in that you have a LeBron James. You have individuals who are not at the top of the normal structure, as in the NFL, who have financial independence.
It's a necessity.
That allows LeBron to step out
and
say what
he says. It's a necessity for the NBA to do that.
Oh, I can't wait for the next segment, because we're really going to go a little bit deeper here. Jason Whitlock here to tell you about our sponsor, SimpliSafe. According to the FBI, the average loss in burglary is over $2,000. It can be hard to recover from that. There are over 2 million burglaries reported every year. That's one every 13 seconds. SimpliSafe protects your whole home, every window, room, and door with 24/7 monitoring for just a fraction of the cost. It's easy to order. Everything is usually set up in under an hour. Prices are always fair and honest. Around-the-clock monitoring is just $15 a month. Visit simplisafe.com/speak. You'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now and be sure to go to simplisafe.com/speak so they know our show sent you. That's SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe.com/speak. Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington and Rick Bucher are back. Time now for a big story. Let's return to the NBA, which continues to deal with the fallout over Daryl Morey's tweet last week in support of democracy protesters in Hong Kong. The Chinese government and businesses have threatened the NBA's activity in China over the incident, but the NBA's most prominent voice on political and social justice issues, LeBron James, has yet to address it at all. The King's silence is undoubtedly related to his relationship with Nike, whose business interests in China are even greater than the NBA's. And another of Nike's social justice shoe salesmen, Colin Kaepernick, has yet to offer any comment on the communist regime's attempt to curb the free speech of American citizen Daryl Morey. All right, the question here is, are LeBron and Kaepernick and other athletes pawns in a political game that they don't fully understand?
Not at all. Not at all. And I just want to overview all this by saying, in today's world, you can't win against sensationalism. It's impossible because right now what's occurring, identity politics, sensationalism, is we defined all by a little. And we take moment here, and we say we know it all in totality. I'll tell you why. I just went through my one-year anniversary of coming to Fox. I was at ESPN for, 10, 11 years. And some of my viewpoints that I held at ESPN have overflowed to here. Mm. But because some of those viewpoints may sound conservative to some, they say, oh, you have Fox now. You're just a pawn of Fox and saying whatever corporate speak is there. And I'm like, wait a minute. If you've been following me, that's just who I am, no matter where I am. I have never met Rupert Murdoch. Respect. I've never met Tucker Carlson. I've never met any of the people that you may now try to align me with just because of optics. Why do I say this? Because Nike is not using these athletes as pawns. If they were, why would they be incentivized to do it when the top two Nike athletes in history, Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, avoided all the smoke all costs? So why now activate a social justice campaign for smoke when you know the bottom line will not be as affected greatly as it would with your top two endorsers? So for me, I just look at this as simply, you miscalculate when you try to do anything. My therapist always talks about a sharpshooter, when he hits his target more times than not, actually looks off target to find bullseye. And if you ever watch someone try to shoot some, they do that on purpose. There are times where they take shots and miss, but more times than not, they will hit. So I don't think they're pawns, because I certainly don't feel like I'm a pawn up here at Fox.
There's a song from Hamilton, I Want to Be in the Room When It Happens, right? Where it happens. And to me, you're a pawn if you're not in the room. You may have the greatest exposure, you may have the greatest celebrity, you may have the loudest voice, but if you're not in the room where the decisions are being made, then ultimately, then you are a pawn. You're not the queen, you're not the king, you're not a rook. And with LeBron and Colin Kaepernick, yes, their ability to present a certain opinion is just that. It's a certain opinion. And it's connected, as you said, once again, it's all about business. I would far prefer the silence from LeBron and Kaepernick at this stage than James Harden jumping out there and saying, we love China. The problem that I've had with...
James Harden's being honest.
But in this conversation, what does it mean?
Like, you're being honest. I like honesty.
But again, we love China. What do you mean you love China? Do you love...
He loves that money that they provide.
There you go.
Okay, then say that. Say that. I love my business. We love China. I love China and their position on Hong Kong. I love their food. I love their shoes. I love whatever it is. Like,
loves the money.
You got to be... Okay, but you got to finish the sentence.
That's disingenuous.
Don't make me assume... I'm going to put my label on whatever
is the only connection really to China is the money.
Adidas and the money. You are a pawn. I hate to break this news to you,
I'm
Marcellus. You are.
I don't play chess.
You are a pawn, and you're a pawn because you are leverageable. You're a leverageable asset. All right, you're a leverageable asset. I'm a leverageable asset. Witt is a leverageable asset. If we are no longer a leverageable asset to Fox, we are no longer welcome at Fox. That's the bottom line. If you don't bring that value, if you don't bring a tremendous value for what their cause is and their business model is, you're not going to be here. The same goes for what we're talking about right now. So when you're talking about, you know, are these guys pawns for this political game? Of course they are. And whether they said, I love China, or whether they didn't, right? Whether they're sitting there in silence or whether they're saying and proclaiming this is what they feel. The bottom line is if you are driving the economy the way that LeBron James and Kaepernick or even a Michael Jordan is driving their economy through them being able to sell those products, you are indeed a pawn. If they have no value, if they do not hold that value where you are able to move product, where you are able to fill out arenas. I mean, Stephon Marbury, we didn't bring up his name. He became basically super wealthy off of just selling his shoe there. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even have to do it here. He sells it there. So the reality of it is that when you look at it as a political game, Kaepernick, to me, doesn't stand to gain any type of ground by putting his voice to this. And that's probably why you haven't heard anything from him. But LeBron, it's interesting that he hasn't said anything because he always really has something to weigh in and say on different situations.
I wish I had not used the word pawn. Because the real emphasis here to me is, and I say this with sympathy, because these guys aren't in their 50s and 60 years old. Mm. They're young. I don't think they fully understand that when you accept all that money from China, there are strings attached to it. When your business interests are so connected to China, there are strings attached to it. And at the end of the day, as much money as LeBron makes from Nike, he can't get crossways with them. And so he has to stay on message for what's good for Nike. And what's good for Nike is pleasing China.
But the heart of it is we shouldn't be asking athletes to be our moral conscience. It started back in the 50s and the 60s when there was the heroic qualities that were attached to athletic performance. And we equated that with some sort of moral position.
But Rick, I'm going to say this. And the other thing I forgot to ask and I'm saying is I disagree with the fact that we're all pawns here.
Yeah.
I disagree.
I was going to push back.
I disagree. Back, I disagree with that. I almost don't even think it's worth addressing because really we're not. The difference, I think, though, that I want to push back Marcellus and you is like, hey, man, we have to recognize things have changed. Muhammad Ali, Jackie Robinson, Joe Louis, the athletes of those eras, they didn't have these multi-million-dollar business ties. And so if they were in this era, even with all their same ethics or whatever, they would be operating differently because of the business financial ties. That's why I keep going back to Muhammad Ali answered to Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X, the Nation of Islam, not Nike. And I'm not trying to demonize LeBron, Kaepernick, or anybody, but I'm not sure if they fully understand the difference between them and Muhammad Ali and what they're really capable of. Because they're young people. Even at 34 and 35, they're still young.
Yeah.
And it's hard to have a no matter how many times LeBron has flown around the world and been here and been there, at 34 to fully understand what that China money really means and what China's influence really means and what you can and can't say. And again, I go back to the People's Republic of China, look it up anywhere, what communist regimes have done. They crucify America as racist to cover up their own racism and brutality. It's a strategy. And so now when I look at the guys tied to Nike and tied to China, they're out here stirring the pot about America and racism and how unfair America is. And why are their companies allowing them to do that? It's good for China. It's good for the communist regime. American culture is under attack, and we've allowed the people attacking us to get knee-deep in institutional icons that have established the American culture. They had their hooks all the way in, and it's changing American culture.
Okay, but is it being attacked unfairly, or is it simply having its covers pulled for what it has always been? And rather than what it pretended to be.
Rick, I get it. And this is perhaps where me being from the Midwest, you living in Northern California, where
from
we
the
come
Midwest at, too, originally?
Okay, but we come at things from a different... Okay. Dude, I take a lot of pride in this country. A lot.
100%.
And I don't want to really hear from China
about what's going over here in America.
And I'm not suggesting so, that.
They just said they don't want to hear from America about what's going on in
exactly.
China.
Exactly.
And not being qualified as an athlete, and I'm not saying not qualified because of voice, but because of understanding of condition and the politics at play. Yes, for every successful athlete post-career has attached itself to a team deeply invested in what that looks like, whatever endeavor that may be, if it's politics or otherwise. That said, all money's not good money. That doesn't mean you're a pawn, but if you got to understand that the dollar is different. And when you go over there, it's going to have a different value and a different understanding coming with that value. And these athletes are not well conditioned for that. But they got caught in something that was greater than themselves, broader than themselves, including Adam Silver. No one knew the depths of the discovery of globalizing your game. Now you're here.
Right.
I don't think this is
and
the moment.
And ain't going back.
We're not going back. We have to come to a greater understanding.
Yeah.
And Marcellus, you've just articulated why I wanted to have this discussion, why we had this discussion. I want LeBron, we get it, man. But just think about what you're doing. It has implications far bigger than perhaps you realize. And it sounds good. The whole social media will tell you, oh, you're Muhammad Ali. You're right. Muhammad Ali. Everybody, the media's applauding it. You're Muhammad Ali. And I'm like, pump the brakes, man. You might not be doing what you think. And trust me, the pressures on you are completely different than the pressures on Muhammad Ali. The Muhammad Ali model will never come back. Sure. It's dead and gone. The Nation of Islam no longer has power like it used to have. That motto is gone. These athletes need to pump the brakes and think about what they're doing. LeVar Arrington is back joining the show now as Fox Sports NFL analyst Bucky Brooks.
Another pawn.
Yeah.
I'm working Dallas, on my chess game.
Where Dak Prescott is looking for answers after struggling through a second straight loss this past weekend. Dak started the year red hot, which had a lot of people speculating the cost of his contract was skyrocketing. I was one of those people. But now that Dak has come back to earth, Jerry Jones claims the quarterback's performance is having no impact on the negotiations, saying any suggestion that Dak is losing money is laughable. You know what? I think what Jerry's saying is, I had a value on Dak that hasn't changed. It didn't go up when he was playing well, and it hasn't gone down now he's playing poorly.
Yeah, I don't believe Jerry right now. I think it all has impact until that pen has ink in it, and that ink is on that paper. Until that's finalized, everything is in your imagination. It's not a reality just yet. But what Jerry's talking about is simply, I'm not at the shoreline with Dak Prescott anymore, where the waves are greatest, and they're crashing in, and we are affected. We way out there. And if you've ever been way out in the ocean, it's still choppy, still some waves, but they're not as drastic as when you're at the shoreline. So he's basically saying, we're so far out there in terms of value, $30 to $40 million. Not that much is going to have dramatic impact, but it still counts and it still matters.
No, I think this is really an easy evaluation because when you look at the last two deals that have been done, Jared Goff sitting at $33.5 million per year and then Carson Wentz sitting at $32 million. I think you can make an argument that Dak Prescott deserves to be in that realm. And when you really look at Jared Goff is the leader of an offense that still is driven by Todd Gurley. And so when we look at Dallas's offense, it's driven by Ezekiel Elliott. But if Jared Goff is getting $33.5 million, somewhere in that mix is where Dak Prescott, and I think Jerry Jones understands that, and it's not going to be an up-and-down valuation based on his performance.
Todd France joining the program.
That's an agent. I'm buying what he's saying because I think he believes in Dak and he believes in this team. And I don't think he wants as much as he's – sometimes the investment in other players shows you the amount of belief you have in the entire whole. So I think there is that belief that Jerry says, if I keep this team together, this group right here, they will mature together, they're young together, and we'll be able to win games. And I think that that's – I don't think that's tongue-in-cheek. Not in this situation.
Well, why? Because Jerry, when he believes in something, we know the language of football.
I think,
pay me, brother. You believe in Dak. You ain't paid him. You believe in Jason Garrett. You haven't paid him. Like, all this belief without anything that is substance, like, behind it, supporting it, What kind of
you
belief
can
is
still
it?
You can still believe in it and not make that business transaction just yet.
Why not?
Well, here's the thing, and it
you're
could
talking
be,
about the women Marcellus was engaged to.
Yes, that's correct. That is correct.
He put a ring on.
Four rings.
He cashed in.
And asked one of them back. Keep the rings in that voodoo that came with
he
it.
He cashed in when he was supposed to. It was the proper time. It was the proper place.
Yeah.
And I think if we're going to put marriage to it, right, when he decides to make that move and really consummate that marriage.
You better get up out of this one.
All right.
Let me hear this
when he
one.
Makes it official, when yeah. he makes it official, he wants to be sure that that's who he's going to be with for, I mean, he may get another wife. Of course, he's an owner, right? He's going to get another. He's going to get married to somebody else. But when he makes that decision to really go all in with Dak, I think he's saying, look, this is my girlfriend. I enjoy us going out. I enjoy us getting movies,
Bingo.
Dinners together.
You just said it. That means
you
he doesn't believe.
You can even move in and live with me. No.
You just said all in. There's no such thing as all in. Either you're in or you're out. We keep making up layers so we can say, well, I don't know what phase we're in.
Then there would be no dating.
This is the point.
You could be all in and still dating.
Hold on. With Dak Prescott, franchise quarterback, with your coach that you say is the one for your team, that's all in, except you're not committing to it. So this is a six-year engagement.
I think they want to give the right number. You got to be very clear on this. You got to be in position to give the right number. We're giving out all of these figures and numbers for guys who have gotten their paydays, but that's now old news.
Yeah.
You're heading very quickly into the new news, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a whole nother round of quarterbacks that are going to get paid a whole lot of money.
Patrick Mahomes.
So he's got to make sure that he doesn't. Because bottom line is, if you don't do what you need to do at the right moment in time, you're going to mess around. You're going to have to pay more later anyway.
Whitlock and Wiley.
Ah!
Joined now by Fox college football analyst Joel Klatt. Time for that dude's dudes. Marcellus, what you got?
Man, let's go back on the field. The big uglies up here and Joel Klatt. Let's start off. Number three, Michigan Junior. Quitty Pay. Oh, pooty tang. Oh, put the towel with the potay. Pay attention right here. You're going to see him go down. Iowa's Nate Stanley. Wolverines had 8 sacks on the day. Pay lined up in the 7 technique. I used to say the dreaded 7 technique. You don't know what to do. The tight end's over you. Tackles right there. Ooh, usually the tight end will help out, but no. So Pay is going to go outside, dance back inside. And instead of getting pushed, oh, look what happens. Gave up 3.5 feet in a hop step. You're not supposed to hop. You got to bring your legs with you. Easy sack for my man, Quitty Pate. Hey, Joe Klatt, you were there. What'd you think about this?
I thought he was impressive.
I want to hear it. That's right. That's right. Representing all the way in Michigan. That dude's Joe Klatt. Michigan. I see you.
I was thinking of you.
That's my dog. Get that easy money. Number two, Eagles defensive end Josh Sweat. No sweat on this one. Don't sweat the technique.
Oh.
Josh Sweat brings down Luke Falk for his first career sack. Woo! Now, this is where you want to line up. Not the 7 technique, the wide 9. You can see him lined up out there, the running back. He's supposed to help out and chip. As Sweat starts his rush, the Jets tackle. He doesn't seem like he's going to trust the chipper. Look how much he's extended. So now Sweat just sticks that left leg in the ground. Yeah.
Got him.
Hit him with that Reggie White.
That's exactly what that is.
Yes, it is. And now since y'all don't trust each other, get to meet each other. Right there on the outside. And Sweat looking like Superman as he's going to take off and bring down Falk. Josh Sweat. Ooh. Been in the archives looking at some old Reggie White over there. I love it. You're our number two dude of the week. Now, number one. That dude of the week, Redskins defensive tackle, Tim Settle. Time to settle the score. Tim Settle used the bull rush to take down Tom Brady. Oh, you know that old man doesn't like that. Now, 6'3", 308, that's a big-ass bull. Look at him right there lined up, and he's going to come off not just with the bull power move, but the hand swipe, which throws it off. Oh, Marcus Cannon's hands are down, leg extended. Oh, not in a good position at all. Lifts him off the ground. Look at the leverage, 308. Ah, he tries to anchor right now. That's what all offensive linemen try to do. Drop the butt and anchor. You know what happens to that anchor? Gets ripped up out the ocean floor. Look at this. Damn. Oh, that's a big defensive end on the play. He lifts them 2 times on the same play and Tom Brady for a little extra sauce. And you know, Tim Settle, you're our number one dat dude of the week.
That was Reggie White, too.
Hey.
Man.
Lifted him right off the field. That
Thank
was
you, Marcellus.
Impressive.
Time now for Darnell's. Question of the day, Darnell. Take it away.
It's Darnell. My guy. My question of the day.
All right, guys, let's move to college football, where Oklahoma's Jalen Hurts has been on fire this year. With his number skyrocketing since transferring in from Alabama, Clearly, Jalen's benefited from working in Lincoln Riley's system, which got me thinking about another QB who blew up after he transferred into Oklahoma, Baker Mayfield. We know Baker got also a hot start in the NFL, but hasn't lived up to the hype this year. I want to ask you guys, do you think Baker's struggles in the NFL could impact Jalen Hurts' draft status?
Joel?
Yes.
That's a great question, because in large degree, a lot of us, when we were talking about Kyler Murray, we were talking about his stock increasing because Baker was having success last year at this time. So maybe it would work in an inverse direction. I will say, though, I think that it's specific to, I don't think Freddie Kitchens is doing a great job at all with what they do on offense, and their offensive line is garbage. Baker Mayfield. Now, he's not playing well. There's certainly that. He's now paying attention to the rush. I'm going to say no in this respect. I think Jalen has the ability to be evaluated in and of himself, okay? And I see him progressing. When you take a look at him from his freshman year at Alabama and to now what he's doing at Oklahoma, the growth is just off the charts. Mm-hmm. He's doing things that he never did at Alabama. He's got the freedom to do it under Lincoln Riley's system. And now what you're starting to see in the last couple of weeks, and I've watched some of this film leading into this week because I've got OU Texas. He's anticipating throws, he's getting through his progression, and he's using his legs as his last resort. I think that's what NFL teams want to see. They don't care if you can run and get it done with your legs, but they want to see you do that as a last resort rather than a second resort, and he's certainly progressing in that direction. So for me, I think he'll be evaluated as is, and Baker Mayfield's struggles are going to be attributed more towards the offensive line for Cleveland and maybe Freddie Kitchens not doing a nice job.
No, I have to disagree. I think they're linked together. And I will start with the expectations. That bar is set by experts like yourself, Mel Kiper, Tom McShay. Once you set that expectation bar, all of a sudden we react to that. And will one team reach for Jalen? So if that bar is set second, third round, will one team exceed that and go in the first round? I don't think so, because of the link to Baker Mayfield and what you're seeing out of Kyler Murray. So what happens is we all ask the question, is this player greater than the factory in the system, or is this player just a result of that same system? Can you actually work independently of Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma in that system, which has manufactured two great quarterbacks of late and now a third? So when we saw you independent of that system, you were lesser. Now if we get you out of that system and bring you to the NFL, will you be lesser again? I think that apprehension is going to be why people won't reach for
he's taking my point, so I want you to respond to that, to be honest with you.
I think that the only point I would make is that I don't think that any of us are under the illusion that Jalen is a first pick type player.
First round?
Right.
No, I don't think he's a first round player. I don't think that he's right now a second round player. And that's why I think he will be evaluated outside of that Murray Mayfield bubble. Now, you're not wrong, because like I said, and I said it to begin my, there was a link last year, so yeah. It's unavoidable to a certain extent to
all right, let me ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Joel. If Baker Mayfield was tearing it up, and if Kyler Murray was having a good rookie season, let's say we get to November and Mayfield and Murray are tearing it up.
Yep.
You don't think that wouldn't make people say, Jalen Hurts is a second-round pick or a first-round pick?
You bring up something that I think is not specific to Oklahoma. I think it's specific to the quarterback position. When you go into the draft, when I'm talking with guys that do the draft for all these teams, okay, all these scouts and everything, what I hear a lot of is that you're constantly trying to talk yourself out of a player, right? You're trying to find what's wrong, and you're trying to find those scars or warts or red flags or whatever it is, because you're trying to find why not to select him. But the exact opposite happens with a quarterback. Teams are so desperate for a quarterback in this league. They are desperate to try to find, like, they walk into the house and they're thinking fixer-upper. They're like, well, if we take that wall down and, it could work, guys. I'm telling you, it could work. I think it's position different, because, again, you're going to find teams that are sitting there and they're going to have nothing at their quarterback position, and they're going to sit there and try to talk themselves into a player at that position.
Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks are back. Let's move to London, where the Panthers will face off with the Buccaneers in a huge divisional showdown Sunday. Cam Newton is still hurt and won't be making the trip across the pond with the team, which means Kyle Allen will get another start. Allen is 3-0 since taking over and has helped get the Panthers back on track after Cam's ugly 0-2 start nearly ended their hopes for this season. All right, the question here is, will Cam Newton ever start again for the Panthers? And I say no. If Kyle Allen and the Panthers win this game and win 4 in a row, it's a wrap for Cam in Carolina.
Wow.
And how are you going to go back to – the guy wins 4 in a row, how are you going to go back to Cam?
I know how you can, because our cognitive responses and our emotional responses are disconnected. What does that mean? You're still going to feel for Cam. The imagined ceiling of Cam is still
greater.
Ron Rivera? Ron Rivera, yes. Tepid, everyone in the organization is still imagining a greater Cam than the reality of what you see in Kyle Allen. And I'm with you. I think that Kyle Allen, if he continues to win, we win with Kyle Allen. We haven't been of late with Cam Newton. Should be the reality. But the reality is their guilt's going to get to him. Their emotion's going to get
Ron
to him.
Ron Rivera.
Let me tell you. And they are going to let Cam Newton go on the field and potentially die on that field in terms of who he is in optics to this organization. You're still under contract this year. After this year is $2 million dead cap. Man, they could get rid of Cam Newton in terms of the guarantees going forward. But right now, while you still have some thought and some emotional connection to the great Cam Newton, you got to let that play itself out and maybe die on the field.
Man, I cannot believe you guys. I can't believe what you guys are saying.
4-0.
Like, 4-0. We're talking about four games.
Yeah.
We're talking about an undrafted free agent, a guy that they felt so highly about, they went out and drafted Will Greer in the third round. That's what they felt about him. So now we're saying that Kyle Allen's going to be our franchise quarterback. It's not going
to
happen.
That's not what
– No.
You added words to – I didn't say Kyle Allen was going to be the franchise quarterback.
You said, will he ever start again?
I said, Cam will be done.
Because you can
keep Kyle Allen and draft a quarterback.
For the low. For the cheap.
For the cheap. But are we going to get a guy who potentially could be a better player than Cam Newton? Because remember, no matter what Cam Newton has done, Cam Newton has played at MVP level. He has lost 8 in a row. But he also is the same guy that got him to a Super Bowl and was an MVP. I think if anything, the lesson to be learned is that this team no longer needs to be driven through the quarterback, but it needs to be driven through Christian McCaffrey.
500 quarterbacks.
Christian McCaffrey has been the biggest reason why Kyle Allen has won.
Well, and that's why I'm going to jump in and say that's why he will play again. He will start again. It's because Kyle Allen is not the reason why they're 4-0. They're playing defense, and they're using Christian McCaffrey, in a way where it manages the D. Or manages the offense. Their numbers are very similar in look, right? So if you're looking at it
statistically,
and that's fine. You can look at the turnovers, but the reality of it is that Kyle Allen has not done something that has separated him or set him apart as
it's
the
not
guy
about
that's going
Kyle
to be
Allen.
The play call.
It's not.
It's not about Kyle Allen.
I understand that, and that's why Cam is going to start again. It's about
but here's
Cam
a simple
Newton
solution.
Playing again.
The equation is, when we put Kyle Allen in, for whatever reason, we haven't lost. We put Cam in, we have. Now, you can say because it's not Cam. He's injured. Last year, he was injured with the shoulder. This year, he came injured with the shoulder and
the beginning of the year.
You've lost all your games with Cam of late, but none with Kyle Allen.
You know why I like this? I like this because it reminds me of the Carson Wentz, Nick Foles debate.
It does.
It reminds me of that. So if that is the case, then Nick Foles should have been the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
You know
what the Philadelphia Eagles did? They said, Carson Wentz, you're our guy. We're going to pay you.
How old was Carson Wentz?
Look, they're one and the same. Both guys have suffered injuries. Both guys have had a tough time staying on the field.
You know injuries are different than
30. 30 is not old.
Come on, man. We got guys playing until they're 40 years old.
That's a different 30, though.
Yeah, we're talking 40 years old.
Carson Wentz ever been on YouTube with a cigarette, a blunt, and a glass of wine?
He's also never been
MVP
either.
But he's never been as big.
And he hasn't won a Super Bowl.
He's never been as big.
Have you seen Carson Wentz do that?
No, but he got the shotguns, though. Carson's different. He'll shoot you.
If you're Ron Rivera, and you've already had problems with Cam, the dude... For years, you've been back and forth in problems with Cam. If you think Ron Rivera is not like, not man.
Can we morph these? I don't think it's just the Philly situation. I think there's a little New York Giants, Eli Manning, your better days are behind you for different reasons.
No, we're saying 30 years old. He's
wait
done?
A minute. Wait a minute.
It's
I'm talking
over?
About because of injury. Look, if you're not going to be the same athlete, trust me, I'm up here because I got undermined by injuries.
That's a draft pick you're talking about.
So they can move forward next year. You got a cheap quarterback now. You could take a reach at a prospect.
But you're talking about a top draft pick.
And not pick.
So, but they're not going to be in a situation where they can get one of the top quarterbacks the way they're looking right now.
They're going to play well, but you take a reach. Jalen Hurts is going to be there second round, third round, whatever it may be.
So we're talking about Jalen Hurts versus Cam Newton.
So
I just want to remind you of, like, who Cam Newton was
you
coming out.
You ain't got to remind me.
Like,
no, 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 no.
I'm just saying,
you got to remind Cam's body
who
Cam Newton was.
Yeah,
Lucky, the key word is was. Hold up.
Cam, man.
W-A-S.
Look, I understand.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
But here's what I also will say. Here's what I also will say. I think it has been an eye-opener for the organization. I think right now, as it stands, man, Christian McCaffrey may be regarded and should be regarded as maybe the best running back in football. Mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey's doing special things, leads the league in rushing and scrimmage yards. So now when Cam Newton comes back, I think it's an easier sell. Hey, Cam, I know you're used to being the dude, but here's what
we're going to do. Are you kidding? Did you watch the video? Did you think the guy with the cigar, the glass of wine, and the scarf around his neck is like, McCaffrey.
And I actually I think this is great for the organization. Because if you're saying they're going to move on, when Cam Newton comes back, hey, Cam, I know we tried to make you something that you're not, the pocket passer. What we're going to do is we're going to ride you till the wheels fall off. We're going to run you up in there. We're going to let you be the short yardage dude. We're going to do all the things that you've done before.
Well, you're going to accelerate
Bucky,
his death.
Bucky, let me stop you. I know. Bucky, let me stop you. I'm going to tell you why I'm going to stop you.
Seen a quarterback
change. Let me tell you why I'm going to stop you, Bucky.
He is what Bucky, he is.
That's why they got to go.
You're the football mind I respect the most. That's why I'm stopping you.
Mm-hmm.
And because one day I want you to be a general manager of an NFL football team. And I don't want these comments on tape somewhere to be used against you.
Because
let me set you straight, Bucky. As a GM, this is how you should be thinking. Damn, I wonder if I could trade Cam Newton. I wonder if there's some silly GM out here that's willing to give me a fortune between now and the end of October to Cam Newton.
So start him.
You put him out there, you could undermine his value. If he goes back out there and looks like
he can help your value. He can help the value.
Be careful.
It's a 50-50 proposition.
We're talking about Kyle Allen. We're talking
about... No, we're not. We're talking about Cam Newton.
Y'all true.
So everyone loves what's behind... Door number one. What is down the road? Oh, we're going to draft a guy. We're going to get this. What this looks like. We've seen what this looked like when they haven't had a franchise quarterback. And so if you're saying, like, hey, let's just get rid of...
Okay,
Bucky. I'm just saying.
Damn it, Bucky. Stop it.
I refuse to.
Bucky.
I mean, we're giving away jobs after four games. It is ridiculous to me.
Since the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
he's a 500 quarterback, 23-23. That's a fact. I love Cam. I watch him every week. But damn it. He don't make a difference right now. And if they can get out from underneath him and get something of value for him, it's not about
You know
not
who else has been
Kyle
a 500
Allen.
Quarterback?
Ooh.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, where you going to go there?
We going to get rid of him too?
No.
Just saying, if we're just judging everybody by quarterback wins, then let's just do that.
I can help you, Whitlock.
What's in that drink over there?
I'm just saying.
Slide that.
Like, we're talking about a 500 quarterback.
Slide that.
That's like Cam.
You just compared Cam to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is going to the Hall of Fame.
500
Bucket.
Quarterback. We talk about a 500 quarterback. Man, I'm just naming all the 500 quarterbacks that come to mind.
Hey,
came to mind.
Them little bracelets people wear all the time, WWBD. What would Belichick do? He ain't riding this till the wheels fall off. He's going to be a year ahead of this. And with Cam's contract situation, the question marks of character, leadership,
What character are we talking about? Because he wears weird clothes.
I'm not saying
that. He smokes a cigar and drinks wine. That's what we're talking about.
I am the biggest Cam fan up here. Maybe me and him rivaling that. I'm talking football only. This is what this organization is feeling right now in terms of impact. Someone who comes with no issues and is underpaid, Kyle Allen, by the numbers he's producing right now, and will stay underpaid by these numbers, versus Cam Newton coming back compromised. Compromise. Can you understand a new reality of Cam Newton not being the same athlete?
I'm just so blown away because maybe I'm having a tough time with all the conversations here because I hear the Dak Prescott thing.
Uh-oh.
We don't want Dak Prescott because Dak Prescott is not a franchise guy, but then we do want Kyle Allen because Kyle Allen is...
upset that they're not showing Cam in highlights and they're showing him lighting his cigar and drinking.
Because that's all the tape we got
the wine. I do not not like that's all the table we got. Y'all not showing the brilliance of this man as a quarterback on the football field, and we are actually debating whether he will play another down.
I hate to say this. I had Bucky right there with Howie Long. My favorite guys on TV, Howie Long.
I'm just so blown away.
Louis Riddick. It's all gone.
Yeah.
It then slipped away.
I'm so blown away.
We're going to drug test Bucky. Oh,
Celine Dion.
Bucky Brooks is back. Let's move to San Francisco, where Richard Sherman calls the stir Monday night, claiming Baker Mayfield dissed him by not shaking his hand before the game. But yesterday, Sherman got caught telling tales with video showing Baker shook his hand and every other 49ers player before the coin toss. And now the corner says he will apologize to Baker over the dust-up. Today, Baker was asked if he meant to disrespect Sherman.
No, I respect him, who he is as a player. He's a great player, has been for a while. No way to have me like that. But that's, the one time the camera and something recording me is, gone in my favor.
All right, the question here is, did you lose or gain respect for Richard Sherman during this handshake fiasco?
Damn, you a journalist, huh? Dude, I can't just stay still with it.
Well, you can do whatever you want.
Man, I lost a little for my homie, Richard Sherman, right here. A lot of clout chase collateral coming out of this. Like he said, he didn't think it was going to get so big. I didn't either. But in this world of recording everything and evidence is everywhere on everyone's phone, brother, if you're not thorough with it, it's going to come back and hit you. And what's interesting is he played on the dynamics of the coin toss, which I gave him credit for and believed in him yesterday. I said, look, there are two handshakes potentially at coin toss. The one before is for respect. And the second one after the flip is, oh, I like you. You my dog. I'm going to see you after the game. Are we going to stay in touch? So there's a respect one and a like one. Why use Baker Mayfield as a springboard for all this conversation when he's not the only one dipping? Look at 57. Look at Darius Taylor.
And the last guy. And 74.
And LeVar Arrington said he would have been one of these guys, and the many guys do this. And I never took a slight when I saw that. I was like, oh, they ready for kickoff. That ain't going to happen until I get on the field as well. But he made a lot about nothing, and that's what's sad.
Yeah, no, I lost a little respect just because the way it was portrayed. It's the big handshake that you talk about because the first one is the one that means everything.
Yeah.
That's the sign of respect. That is the sportsmanship angle that we typically take. And so when you think that someone dismissed you on that, then it's personal. Mm-hmm. The last one, now we're in gladiator mode. We're getting ready to play.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really love you because you're on the other squad. And so the way that it was portrayed and the way that it actually came out, it's a bad look for Richard Sherman.
It's a bad look for Richard Sherman. I like that he apologized. I'm not sure if he had any other choice with the video coming out. I'm going to tell you, though, why I've lost maybe a little bit more than you all, but not a great deal, but more than you all. It's just like, I didn't expect it to get so big. Really? You thought Baker Mayfield and all the controversies around him, you didn't think Richard Sherman, a legend of the game, saying that Baker Mayfield disrespected me, you didn't think that was going to be a big deal?
Yeah, that's disingenuous.
Yeah, that he knew it was going to be a big deal. He just didn't know it was going to come back and haunt him and it was going to engulf him. I've lost some respect. And this is another, like, a little hoax that just got busted very quickly.
Yeah.
And if it had been reversed, and we just got to remember, if Lamar Jackson was Baker Mayfield and a white player had come out and said, oh, he disrespected me. And then you see the video and he didn't. Look how unfair this is to Lamar. And we're putting Lamar in a bad position. Mm. Same thing done here to Baker Mayfield. Sherm, check yourself, man.
Yeah, Sherm, look, there's enough evidence out there. Trent Williams and that blow that they had a few years ago. Crabtree. That Sherman gets emotional and he's a habitual line stepper. Like, he would take his emotional context beyond the norm or beyond the reality. And look, when you knew it was going to get this big because it got that big when you took us into the lion's den about Crabtree. Mm, yeah. So you know when you're talking about the game and then one of the best players on the other team, we know where we're taking that.
And I think Sherman's smart enough to know that as well.
He should have known, because it wasn't just him talking about the handshake. It was all the other stuff that came in that conversation. It was hasn't done anything in the league, the disrespect and all of that. Yeah. The extra stuff that went into it, because it was a little bit about the handshake, but about more about, hey, this is my opportunity to really get on the soapbox and really unleash on number six. And that's what he did. And so for me, that's where he really crossed the line, because he kind of took a personal shot at Baker Mayfield that was unwarranted.
Here's where I'm going to defend Sherman. And that's why I'm saying I'm not losing a great deal of respect.
Right.
He's being very loyal to Michael Silver here, the journalist involved in this. Because Richard Sherman, to me, this is my speculation, experience as a journalist. He got led down a path by the journalists. Mm. This was a good story for the journalists as well. A lot of clicks in this. Mm. The journalists, and again, I like Hugh Jackson, and I like Michael Silver. They're connected.
Ooh.
I didn't even put that. Hugh Jackson.
I wasn't even putting that together.
Not the greatest Baker Mayfield fan.
Yeah.
And so, Rich Sherman, man, these reporters, man, be careful. They may seem like your friends, but they're self-interested as well.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of clout chasing going on, not just from Richard Sherman.
And a lot of bias, confirmation bias. Like, yeah. He came into this one ready, loaded, and it took that little thing to trigger him, to tick him off. Sherman's a vet of the game. He could have known better.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. I know I'm not Big Dummy of the Day.
No, you do?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
But you sit right there and gonna tell the one sane member of the panel, Bucky Brooks, oh, we gonna have to drug test you. Oh, no, you got to get the cup first, bro. Come on, man. You got to get that cup first, man.
Weeks of indiscretions. Right.
Let's talk about Adam Silver, who has been caught in the middle of a huge controversy after the Chinese government turned on the NBA over Daryl Morey's tweet supporting democracy protesters in Hong Kong. Marcellus, do you trust Adam Silver to resolve this?
I do trust him. I mean, his track record has shown any controversies come his way, including the one that fell in his lap from day one and Donald Sterling, he was able to resolve. This is a complicated one. This one is deeper than any other issue he's had, but he's learned a lot from his David Stern experience. He's learned a lot in terms of growing his game, but they're in new territory. That's what comes with globalization, but I do trust in him and his character to resolve it.
Yeah, I think he's going to manage this situation. I think that whether or not he'll be successful may be kind of outside his control when you start talking about dealing with a foreign government, particularly one as paranoid and as secretive and as manipulative as the Chinese government. And look, I'm sure the same can be said of our government, but that's our government. We have a better understanding of it.
Right.
Tough spot for Adam Silver. I wish him good luck. Uncle Jimmy, do you have a take on any of this?
Yep. First of all, let me start off by saying I'm going to tip my hat to you. That was one hell of a montage.
Monologue.
Yeah, yeah. Look, but let's be honest, man.
Yeah.
Even a broke clock is right every other day.
No, broke clock is right twice a day.
Go ahead.
Look, man, stick with the story, man. Look here, man, for the first time in the history of this show, nephew, you said something that opened my eyes.
Mm.
And very, very seldom is that ever going to happen. And you managed to do so today.
What's your point?
On a very serious note, man. Let me tell y'all something about Uncle Jimmy I don't know. Jimmy served 4 years in the United States Marine Corps.
Okay.
Wow. I was 3rd Tank Battalion, 29 Palms, California. Let me tell you something, bro. I was a romping, stomping, ass-kicking, hell-raising piece of death and destruction. In other words, I was a lean, green, fighting machine. All right? Mm. So in other words, what you hear from me is I got a whole lot of pride and a whole lot of respect for my country and my flag. Is America perfect? Nope. Hey, man, I done seen a whole lot of bad from this country. But don't get it twisted. I done seen a whole lot of good. And those are the things we can't lose sight of. Seriously. Yeah. Now, what LeBron, what Cap and them need to realize, you sit up here and you go too far talking about America's racist and this and that. Hey, man, it's impossible for y'all to know where we going because y'all don't know where we been. Hey, man, I lived through a time where they swore up and down, we'd never have a black president. Now, look at us now. I see young people nowadays, y'all think racism is when somebody sends you a letter and asks you to cut your hair. I lived in a time where folks would come up on your front porch and take you out of your house and cut off worse than your hair. So, look, I'm going to give you credit, nephew. Hey, you trying to enlighten these little young cats. You trying to sprinkle a little knowledge on them. But they don't understand that right now you might be being manipulated by the global dollar and the elitists. Look, man, a lot of people ain't never, ever left their neighborhood. So how are they even going to be able to conceive the fact that China is doing something that might affect them in their neighborhood? They can't conceive it. Look here. You understand what I'm saying?
I do understand.
So therefore, I'm just trying to say, man, no matter how you look at it, man, if you ain't got the mind to even understand what's going on, you can't understand what's happening.
Perspective.
You know, Uncle Jimmy done seen a lot, man. I done experienced a lot. And let me tell you this, bro. I have yet to find anything better than the good old U.S. of A. Look here. Let me tell you something. It's the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs.
I'm about to say Chiefs. That's the only way I
say it. I ain't going nowhere.
Not bad. Not bad. Let me get to my approval rating for Adam Silver.
That caught me off guard first time I heard it.
I've got him at a role player.
You thought
61,
it was rough like that, huh?
19 in job performance, yeah. 8 in all-time greatness, 20 in character, authenticity, a little shaky right now at 14.
Yeah. I got him at 52 scout team, so a little lower than you. Just in the moment right now because they haven't got their hands around this issue yet, so got to do that first.
The internet's got him at a dumpster fire at 67%, kind of a landslide there.
That was fast.
We'll see how this all lands at the end.
Yeah.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.